Hello and welcome to Your Sparkly Brand, the podcast for badass game-changing business owners who aren't afraid to sparkle and stand out. We're all about fighting the status quo in marketing and branding so you can reach more people and make more money. Coaches, creatives, and thought leaders, here you'll discover how to become magnetic AF so you can build and scale a sparkly empire. I'm Lauren Tassie, a copywriter and launch strategist, and I'm joined by my co-host, the branding and web design queen, Megan Gersh. Hi, Megan.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. What was your sparkly moment this week?
So I have not logged into Instagram or TikTok in almost 2 weeks at this point.
And holy crap.
It's been interesting. I feel like I need to like write a blog post or an email or something about it because the things I do instead, especially the first week, were very interesting. Like I found myself like online shopping more because I think it gives you that same like dopamine thing. But now in week two, things are going much better. And I feel like I'm just getting so much more done during the day. It's like, it's the intention span thing I think has now like worked its way back into being longer periods of time. So I would highly suggest that if anybody's considering it, and we'll see how long I continue to do this for.
I was going to ask if that was like an intentional experiment or if it was just like, I'm just need to take a break.
It's intentional in that like, so I read it and I listen to like podcasts about like dopamine and stuff and how like satisfaction and all of that. And like, you know, that's those two specifically for me are just, I know like not good for my brain in terms of that. And I generally do things that make it less appealing anyway. Like I usually don't even use the app. Like I'll go on my computer or I'll do it on the browser on my phone. So it's like less appealing to my brain, but that's still, it still gives me the dopamine thing. So it's been intentional and we'll see how long I stick with it. What about you? What's your sparkly moments?
So my sparkly moment this week, I actually got to give a shout out to one of the tools that I love using in my business, repurpose.io. They just added a functionality where now I can automatically publish my TikToks to Pinterest. So that's going to allow me to be on one more platform with automation. And so I'm really stoked about that.
Oh, that's great. That makes things a lot easier, I bet.
Yes, absolutely. You know what else makes us feel a little sparkly is reading reviews from you, our listeners. So please leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right. So today we have another Q&A episode. We love these because we can kind of just be unfiltered. And we are tackling one of the most common struggles entrepreneurs have, how to get clients. New clients, better clients, more clients. We're covering it all today. So let's get into the questions. First question is, I need a client today. What do I do?
First thing that's coming to mind is tap into your existing clients if you have any. Go back to clients that you've worked with before, see if there's a way that you can serve them a bit more deeply or if there's like a next step that you can lead them to. You know, it's much easier to go back to an existing client and sell them something else rather than to dive into a pool of cold leads or audience to try to find somebody new.
Yeah, that's what I would have said too. And then my second one would be to tap into your network of people and just, you know, it doesn't have to be like, oh, I need a client today, but it can just be like, hey, just a reminder, I do this service. If you know anybody who needs it, you know, here's my information or something, because those are people that know you too. And they're going to go, oh, this guy has a business. Maybe I can connect them.
Yeah. And that also, that approach specifically takes the pressure off of that person too. Just saying like, if you know anyone that could use my services, it like takes the pressure off of that person for having to be that person. And instead they become almost like a detective for you. So like their ears perk up whenever they're talking to somebody else. You know, if they need one of your services, maybe your services will come to mind.
Yeah. And it makes people feel really good to connect other people. So it's sort of, it's a whole like psychology thing that like, it's not manipulative. It's just like a way to like make your world a little bigger.
So the next question is, I get plenty of leads, but I'm not excited about working with any of these types of clients. So how do I get more dream clients? Ooh, I love this question.
It starts with, where are your leads coming from? There's something is misaligned there. I've told this story before, but when I first started as a copywriter, I got my website ranking for e-commerce copywriter on the first page of Google, like right away. And the people that were coming to me were not my people. It was like, I have 10,000 types of door hinges and I need product descriptions. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. And so that's when I really leaned into my branding, especially because those were inbound leads. My pink website, all of a sudden with me and a disco ball, turned off the door hinge people. That's my, like from my past, my example of how I dealt with that. What else would you have to add to that?
I mean, we could do a whole episode on this, but everything from like how you were speaking to your audience to your actual visual branding elements, I think really play a part, like you said, and just making sure that you are speaking to the right type of person. So like calling out that specific person in your marketing. So saying like creative entrepreneurs or stay at home moms or, you know, whatever that name is that you can give to your audience, like that's going to help to attract the right people and also to repel the wrong people.
We've all been given this piece of advice, but it's really hard to do, but to not take those clients who you're not aligned with, you know? Leaving yourself the space to work with dream clients is going to help bring more of them in versus being busy and overwhelmed with these projects you don't even want to be working on in the first place.
It's definitely one of the hardest lessons to learn as an entrepreneur, but it's so freaking valuable when you start to step into that power and start to make that space.
Yeah. Okay. So our next one is kind of a follow-up. Where can I connect with dream clients?
So that depends on where your dream clients are hanging out. So that's where a lot of the branding research comes into play. This is basically step one that I go through with all of my branding clients. So we dig into who is your dream client and really digging into where they're hanging out online. What brands are they buying from? What are they doing on the weekends? Like digging into like the psychology of like what makes this person tick. That is going to determine where you can find those dream clients. So, you know, if they are an older demographic, they might be hanging out on different platforms than if they are a Gen Z person, right? So it really just depends.
Yeah. And I think it's most important to, once you identify that place, really focus on that instead of trying to be everywhere all at once.
Yeah, totally. All right. So the next question is, I feel like I'm on a roller coaster. At times I'm overwhelmed with too many clients and other times I'm struggling to get anyone to say yes to my proposal. Any tips for how to deal with this?
We've all been there. We did an episode on this too, the seasons of business. That would be a good one to go back and check out. In terms of like things to do right now is implement some sort of like time restriction in your workflow. If another project's starting to ramp up and you're too busy at the moment, can you like put a few days buffer in between your kickup call and that project actually starting? In the scheduling of your work, you have control beyond just, you know, 10 clients are coming to me at once or I have no clients, and drawing out those timelines when you need them can be helpful. What else would you recommend?
I think, I mean, it's two different scenarios, right? Like if you're too overwhelmed with too many clients, like I think that that's a really good indicator that you need to take a look at the boundaries in your business. So what is your actual capacity? Taking a look at that, like as service providers, a lot of the time we're capped by how many clients we can actually take on at a time. If you're looking to like move into some sort of agency model, like that's a different story. If you're a solopreneur and maybe you just have like an assistant or something like that, you know, maybe you can only take on 3 clients a month or 5 clients a month or whatever the case is. So really getting clear on those boundaries with yourself, I think would be a good starting point with that. As far as when you are struggling to get anyone to say yes to your proposal, I think that there's something to be said there in the mindset realm too, around like, you know, trusting that you are making moves every single day to move your business forward, really taking care of yourself in those times, and also just continuing to make that short list of stuff that you need to do each day and really making sure that you're hitting those marks, like taking a look at your analytics to see like, okay, where are the marketing levers that I can pull in my business that I know are going to generate sales in my business? Focus on pulling those levers every single day if you're able to. You know, one tip that I got from a coach recently is like, you can always also think about the opportunity around like pop-up offers. You can use it as like just a temporary offer you can put out there, something that's easy for people to say yes to and that you've had success with in the past. You can always position it as a pop-up offer. So it's like maybe for this week only, you're offering some kind of deal on XYZ service or something like that. So that's something else I would suggest for that.
Okay, so the next one, how to get in front of the right people faster.
Well, ordinarily I would say TikTok, but I'm kind of on the fritz with them right now with my account. I still haven't gotten my account back at this time. So
paid ads, if you have the cash flow to do that, that you can ramp up paid ads real quickly. Maybe a contest or a giveaway, whatever platform you want to be on can, you know, ramp up your numbers.
Yeah, I was going to say going to or like speaking at events. That's kind of like a big thing to be like, just do this, but like,
yeah, just go.
Just go speak at an event. But you know, if you have the opportunity to speak at an event, like that's a really great way to show your expertise in front of a lot of people at once. It doesn't have to be in person, but that does help just because like face-to-face does help to network with people a lot faster. So the next question is, I'm a life coach and I feel like there are so many other coaches out there. How can I stand out for potential clients?
Okay. So the first thing I want to say to this, because this comes up with a lot of coaches, you probably follow a lot of coaches on Instagram or wherever you hang out. You probably are very immersed in that world. So it seems to you like everyone is a life coach, but in fact, not everyone is a coach. That's just sort of like the bubble you have built for yourself. So that's just like a fact. Second of all, something, and this is particularly true when I hear people say I'm a life coach, is that you tend to not have a specific niche. You tend to just want to help everyone. And maybe you can help everyone, but in terms of marketing and finding clients, it's hurting you to try and help everyone. I worked with a client recently who came came to me as a life coach. We talked a lot about her background, a lot about the client she really liked to help. And ultimately, I helped her find a niche that was like career-driven professionals that were feeling lonely at the top. And like, that's a very specific group of people that we can target. We can write content for. We can really, you know, reach in a specific way versus just like people that are struggling in general in their lives. So that would be my first, I would say you have to get clear on that if you don't have that very clear niche. And that then helps you differentiate yourself from the sea of coaches that may or may not be out there.
I would say with this, like taking a look at the stuff that's going on in your industry that you disagree with and talking about that, really kind of going in the other direction and differentiating from what everybody else is saying is going to catch people's attention. Because if they do happen to follow multiple life coaches online, if you're saying something completely different than what everybody else is saying, like that is your differentiating factor. So call out the bullshit, you know, call out the things that you disagree with in your industry, and don't be afraid to really stand in that power.
All right. So our last question for you, Meg, what's working in your business right now when it comes to client acquisition?
For me right now in business, like again, like my retainer clients, I've been going back a lot to previous clients to say like, okay, like we had a great time working together. Are there other projects that we can take on together? You know, I've been building in a few new offers into my business. And so I've just been trying to serve my existing clients a bit more deeply. What about you?
Yeah, I would say it's very much the same. It's right now it's repeat clients that come back to me or sort of like long-term conversations that I'm having. Like I used to very much be like, okay, do you want to work together? Here's a proposal. And then it would be the end of a conversation, either working together, or they're sort of not where I've started. I'm not sure how or when this happened, but sort of having these longer, like not right now. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk in a month. Like these sort of longer term conversations are beneficial too, because it keeps the conversation going versus a yes or no, right when the first call happens.
Yeah. I think that's really important to remember too, that like, just because somebody's not saying yes right away, like it's so important to remember that like business is all about relationships. And so like, I've had so many people that like, they say no, not right now. And then they say like, oh, please check back with me in like 3 months or 6 months or whatever. And then when I check in with them, they're like, oh my gosh, yes. Like now's the perfect time. And so it's just being a human being and understanding that, you know, like sometimes the timing isn't right. And just like being understanding of that. All right. Well, that is all of the questions that we have for today. So if you have a question that you want answered on our next Q&A episode, please shoot us an email at yoursparklybrand@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, stay sparkly.